a grain of rice, a grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was the show. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Right, lads, how are you all? Hope everybody is enjoying life at the moment. Lockdown is easing. Tony Holohan is warning us, I suppose, about increased figures and maybe staycations. And I was even looking at a price of a few staycations myself, frightened the life out here for myself and the missus. And they're all adults now. I have a lady that'll be 17 in a week's time. And the other two are 21 and 19, like, so there's no use saying three children, give us a family room, like. Jesus, I tell you, you'd be in Portugal anyway a fair bit quicker. But no, we're doing a Zoom cast today, lads. We've Larry and we've Mark and we've TJ. And we're going to be joined in a while by Laois, a football manager, and the Narry's great, Kerry's Mike Quirk, who's obviously on the other side of the fence now, would be county manager, outside county manager as well, who's travelling up and down from Tralee to Portlaoise. So we'll see what Mike's take is on a lot of the stuff that has come out. First of all, boys, the die has been cast. It's like back to our youth, where we used to be the October bank holiday weekend, I think. The Sunday night, Sunday sport, or after the news, where the draw would be out. And you didn't want to get the quarter-final match in Munster. That was the big one, wasn't it? Two days to win Munster, like, but the draw is made now, and we have Cork and Waterford. We have everyone's rivals anyway in Munster, but we've Clare and Limerick, I suppose, big rivalry, TJ. And then the winners, the last two All-Ireland champions on the same side of the draw. Like, so we just look at Munster first. I mean, who's it kind to, lads? Like, I'm probably sticking out a mile here for me and you, TJ, anyway.
Yeah, Dale, first of all, can I just say that we were back in the pitch last night in Gareth Blandford and Oak. The grass was immaculate. Jerry Keogh is doing a super job there, right? I have my e-learning module complete, my health questionnaire ticked off, and I have to say, right, I am glass half full now. It was brilliant to be back. Yes, it was under 14s. Yes, it was only our first training session, but there was something really great about it. We were probably all management and players like newborn calves, but I have to say, it was really, really enjoyable.
Yeah, you have the TJ Ryan PR job done now on the job you're doing with Gary Spillane underage. Okay, let's move back to the Munster Championship draw now.
Sorry.
I was in Kirkcastle as well the other night, and everyone was buzzing as well. Like,
the pitches were only open yesterday, though, I think. But anyway, that's another conversation.
Yeah, well, they were only out at the ball alley, which is outside of the pitch.
Sorry, you know? Sorry, yeah, yeah. You were back for a walk, back, you know, with us.
That was it, the walking area. Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, the Munster Championship, like, look, there is something like real championship cut and romantic about this one chance to get to a Munster final here. It was always going to be difficult for the teams that got the quarterfinal draw. Cork being Cork always get that nice side of the draw, Dello, as we well know. So, look, we've come up the tough end. 7 days later, having to play the All-Ireland champions and then go and try and win a Munster Championship is going to be very difficult. And in fairness, Paddy Power have reflected it that way. Tipper slight favourites for Munster. Cork and Limerick joined second favourites, but very open championship. Very difficult for both Limerick and Clare to win a Munster Championship from the position that they're in the draw.
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus, Cork there. You must be delighted with all that, yeah?
Unbelievable. I don't know how you're, the two of you know, are going to gang up on me again today now, right?
You're all right. There'll be a Kerry fella coming on in a while and you can give the yerra to each other.
Realistically, Mark, it's a good draw for Cork.
TJ, I was down in Welsh Park this year when Cork played Waterford in the league, and Waterford introduced about 10 new players. None of the big stars were playing, and they beat Cork by a point, as it turned out. But Cork got two goals in the first 5 minutes of the game.
Right.
And I was really impressed with Waterford at that stage of the season. And they were having, and Austin Gleeson was starting to come back to his best. And the likes of Jamie Bound hadn't poked the ball at that stage. So I would be concerned, actually, TJ, with the draw from a Cork perspective, because I think everybody, no different than the lads around the group now, would say that, that's a handy... It's not a handy draw for Cork. In actual fact, I think any team that comes up against a team being trained by an outside manager, there's a lot of stake for Liam Cahill in that game. And I think from Liam's perspective, you know, from his future, I would say if you're Liam Cahill now, having 221 All Irelands under your belt, and we say Liam Sheedy, maybe on his last year, you'd never know. I think Liam Cahill will be eyeing up the Tipperary job in another 12 months, and I think he'll be making a statement with his Waterford team this year.
But come here, look at your. There was going to be no handy draw in Munster.
No.
Per se, like. I mean, any of the teams you got, if you're a Corkman, right? But what you did get is you got the clean. Like, I think in some ways now, the weak thing, as TJ says, puts a bit of a different perspective on Clare and Limerick, right? They have the longest road to travel. And then only having a week to recover for the All-Ireland champions is hard going, because Clare and Limerick will be a fair old thump of match, no doubt, right?
It will, yeah.
No, the only thing is, the beauty of the other side is they don't have any jump on you in terms of a match previous. You have none on them. And it's the kind of clean game, if you know what I mean. Whereas even Liam Sheedy, I'd say, is a bit worried that if, just say now, they'd be fancied by the bookies anyway, would they be All-Ireland favourites, probably slightly Limerick. Maybe the draw has slightly altered that, but Liam Sheedy will be saying, I have no proper match, except they will have a couple of challenge matches, I presume, coming up to it, but I have no proper match, but they'll be able to test their system, their style of play, how much form fellas are in against Clare, and then I'll have no match going into it. Whereas for me, the Waterford Cork side is very nice, you know. It's the best you could hope for, really. But like
it will feel, the Cork and Waterford game will feel in some respects that it's a level playing field, that there's no extra game has been played, and both teams will come hopefully with their A game on the day, and they won't really know how fit they're going to be, how match fit, and I think we all know from playing, the longer you progress in the season, the better your touch becomes, the fitter you become, and your timing obviously is way better. And we had Fergal Hogan on a couple of months ago, Anthony, as you remember, and he would always make allowances in the league. He said that, you know, Phyllis' timing would actually be out, and he would always give players the benefit of the doubt with a late tackle and a loose hurling and stuff like that. So I think a lot of that will play out, Anthony, as we see it. But like, there's no doubt that one side of the draw, and I think, TJ, you were quoted during the week as saying it's lopsided. Yeah, there are two All-Ireland, the last two previous All-Ireland champions are there, Limerick and Tipperary, and then Brian Lohan bringing the Clare team, who were the form team in the league up to the breakup, I suppose. So certainly there's three teams there, and there's only one of them can play in the Munster final. They're all going to be cracking games, and I suppose that's the beauty of maybe the Munster Championship, and we'll discuss the Leinster in a minute. But every one of those games is going to be attractive, and the question then is, are they going to be under lights? Are they going to be Saturday? Are they going to be Sunday? All that stuff is going to be played out over the next when the fixtures are made.
Yeah, the other thing, Dale, I think, which is a big factor in the Munster Championship for me, would be the crowd. Like, there's definitely times, I think, for Limerick that I certainly can remember in my time, but let's say maybe if you were either under the cosh, or let's say you were going well, right, and the crowd really, really get behind you and tear into the opposition, right, and the blood and thunder is up, it does have an effect, right? So heading into October, November, and we don't know what's coming down the track here, whether it's going to be a small crowd, a medium crowd, or whether everyone's in, or whether nobody is in, I do think it'll have a little bit of a factor, because it's hard to imagine Clare, Limerick and Thurlestale with no one there.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. And even watching some of the Premier League and that, some people hate turning on the sound effects, but I've actually found them nearly a bit therapeutic, to be honest, to just and nearly close my eyes, because the soccer has been that bad in some ways. But I suppose
they will allow in a certain amount. Like surely 10,000 people will be an acceptable level if social distancing can be observed and stuff like that. And like, we're still a long way from October.
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot can change. We've seen a lot of changes in the last 6 or 8 weeks as well, in terms of when the roadmap started to come out and were introduced. So I think the crowd, TJ, I suppose, that at the moment, we just don't know what the answer lies. But the biggest thing, and we might be discussing in a minute, like, is that whether there's a coronavirus outbreak or anything, or if there's an uptake, or if the numbers start to increase and stuff like that. Like, we're all very, very hopeful, and we can now see the hope that matches are going to be played. But this thing could be knocked in the head if there's an increase in numbers, despite, like you see in the UK today, Leicester, the area has been shut down. So, I mean, we're not home and dry yet. We're certainly not out of the woods. And I think we're in a very precarious time period, the next 4 weeks, I think is going to be very precarious, because you have club players that are coming back now and from being a load of isolation for 3 months, and all of a sudden now fellas are coming together on the field. I'd just be a bit concerned that some, you just don't know where fellas have been and where.
Yeah.
What could happen, you know?
And we've had the confirmation from the Kilkenny County Board. I suppose the rumour was out there that, you know, a player from a prominent Kilkenny senior club has been positively diagnosed. Yeah. And how to deal with that now? Does, you know, because, you know, teams have been training, we all know, in public parks and... You know, we were allowed to come together sharing groups of 15 for the last couple of weeks there. Were we? Was that the rule with Leo? Yeah. Was it 12 or 15? Yeah.
15 at the start and then into groups of 10. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, obviously this guy might have been in contact. We don't, you know, you things like this, like as you said about Leicester as well, like, you know, where does that even leave their team even going forward and with contact tracing and everything like that? But I suppose we just, that's why I've been slow to comment all along about opening pitches, closing pitches, making draws. I think this thing has been, we just don't know. And like the time period we're talking as well, for the inter-county, that's real back to college time as well, which is the real gathering around the country of the all counties coming together, you know. So I think that's an interesting one as well. What will that bring? Will that bring spikes and that? And there's no chance of a vaccine anyway at this stage, it looks like, you know. TJ, I was going to ask you, what's the new pitch like in Adair Manor?
You would like it a lot. It would suit you. Definitely.
A lot of rough, is there?
No trees. No trees. No trees. Bit of water, but no trees. You won't lose a ball.
Yeah. We're not giving away too much there either. I know what's happening with the Clare lads. I hope Brian Lohan doesn't ring me now and shoot me for this, but... they're actually not meeting at all. Now, I know Cork, if what I've heard, again, I'm going to hang no one, is all the Cork are doing is meeting once a week as a group and kind of doing a few walkthroughs, a bit of injury work, if you want, a bit of work with the backs, you know, talking about various things for the time being anyway. All the Clare are doing at the moment now, whether it's will change or not in the next couple of weeks, because, as you said, Mark, there's pressure coming on people when they hear about other counties.
There is.
That I know that our own lad, Stephen O'Halloran, on the panel now, he goes to Clarecastle training and we the Fergie Loughlin training, our boys, and it will be good training, you know. But Stephen will wear his inter-county GPS vest so that Brian and the physical trainer can keep an eye on the work he has done Tuesday night, Thursday night, Sunday, whatever they're doing, you know. Yeah. So if there's a little bit more needed that they think that they'll ask them to do a session themselves and they're not meeting up at the moment, you know. So... yeah, it's interesting. It's hard to call.
Yeah, your view on that, Dilo, I suppose, depends on which camp you're sitting in. Are you a club manager? Are you an inter-county manager? Are you a county player? Are you a club player? Are you a supporter or a mentor? Which camp are you in, I think, decides where your view lies. I don't believe that Limerick are training at the moment. I think that they're not back for a while. But I suppose, like, what Mark said at the start here, if you're a fresh inter-county manager here trying to put your imprint on a team, right, like to get your group together, to go to walkthroughs, to do the video analysis, like that takes a lot of time, and it's great time to do it now when you can do it over a period of 1, 2, or 3 hours. So even though the vibe might be the teams are training, they might be getting together, but they might be actually out in the pitch hurling. So there's lots of different possibilities here. So we have to give the fellas the benefit of the doubt.
And on that, Tej, you know, we don't look at, we see there. Larry, like, would you be, from a tip point of view, how do you see that draw, like, that you know what I mean? That you got it, you know, you've no build-up game. You avoid the quarter-final, fair enough, but you've no build-up game. For Liam and that, like, they'll be meeting a Limerick or a Clare that'll be after coming out of a battle.
Exactly, Dale. I'd be very concerned about that. Sure, they'll be primed. They'll be ready to take us out there after a tough game the week before. Like, typically going into cold into that. I'm not sure it's all that much of an advantage, is it?
Yeah, I would have thought, like, only for the week thing, I would have thought it was an awful disadvantage, to be honest.
A week is a bit short, especially if it's 6 days. They wouldn't allow that to happen, would they?
No, they'd surely be pushing for the 8 days, really, with that, I'd say. Do you know, that they'd try and play the Clare Limerick on a Saturday, Tej.
Conditions could be a factor too, Dale. Like, if it was a wet Saturday evening now, right, where the legs were going to be kind of going through murder for 70 minutes and you need to come out again, that would be tough going.
Yeah, but like 8 rather than 6, like, is what we're saying, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it does give you...
Yeah,
I take it, like, you can imagine at the moment that match is likely to be in Thurles, so I don't think we have any definite fixtures. It would have been an Ennis if it was a round robin, right? And it will revert to that next year, but I'd say it'll go to Thurles under lights. Because you're looking, lads, like, at about a 4:30 darkness time we're talking about, like, so yeah. If we're going, you know, unless we're going to be getting people... Gotten straight away to dinner at 8 o'clock to have a clear run of today. You know, but it is going to be. So I'm saying probably that Saturday night of that weekend, and then that you'll get, you know, and I would say, like, thinking about it now, like, we say Thurles must be unreal at the moment. Like, you're saying your place is unreal, TJ, and yeah. Our place is unreal. You know, all the pitches are, we played a few games of golf, Jesus, it's like Augusta, like back in Kilrush, like, you know. But like, so Thurles now must be incredibly good. Like, it's always good anyway, best day ever. And you can imagine, like, if Tip only will say play their semi-finals maybe and final there, so because Tip regularly use the rag and places like that, don't they, Larry? You know, for games like that. So, like, if they only use it for semi-finals and finals, like, Jesus, there's no. I mean, that pitch will still be in brilliant order, unless we get to shaking a deluge or something.
Yeah, but I suppose you would have to say, Anthony, like, that all pitches now are in great order. Like, I mean, I know Parky Cueve, they spent €1 million on doing it up, just the surface alone last Christmas, like, you know, and that pitch is just ready for action. Like, and I could see Parky Cueve possibly being used for like a good few games this year. You also have the facilities, we'll say, the we'll say copper box section, I suppose, which is the only one in Munster at the moment, that there's a corporate element as well to the GAA side of things. So I can see Parky Cueve being used on a good number of occasions, but I know certainly yourselves, Dale, you don't like travelling from Clare down to Parky Cueve. You don't like getting in and getting out of the place, like, you know.
It's just a hassle of getting from fucking Parky Cueve into the city, Mark, is the bit I have a problem with. Yeah. I never any problem with the place. No, I've got any good memories of that place, I tell you.
Yeah.
Taking on Tip down there was a great spot for that. No, I tell you the truth, like, for me, the pitch is all weather as well. Thurles is not all weather.
No,
Thurles is not. Thurles, as we know from league games, can get very heavy and, you know, slobbery and very, but like, Croke Park and Parky Cueve are the very same surfaces now.
Yeah, and I think actually as the year progresses, Anthony, I think the semi-finals and finals will probably be played in Croke Park, but I certainly think the qualifier games could be considered for Parky Cueve, a bit like it was a number of years ago, a game on a Saturday and a game on a Sunday, and you have, you know, just under 50,000 capacity there as well, and you have the social. I think you'll be able to do social isolating very easy in Parky Cueve as well. If now obviously. Some counties don't like travelling to Parky Cueve because it's hard enough to get in and get out. But if you have limited spectator, maybe to 10 or 15,000 people, I think that would be potentially a great stadium to have it. And I think the ground, the surface will be excellent there as well, which would be great for hurling as well.
The biggest problem I'd have with it, Mark, is the Greens going into government and they don't want the motorway going ahead from Limerick to Cork. No, but it's no a big hassle for the teams anyway, isn't there, TJ? Like, you have your Garda Escort and all that, like, you know, so for teams going there, it's no big hassle, really.
Dillo, if you drive by the home of hurling in Garry's Plan, you have motorway from Mitchelstown. It's a much better road, so I can advocate going that way to Cork, right? And I will go with Mark. Say we'll go down there. Not about our Mark anytime. Pitch look great in the league. I'll be very happy with that.
Yeah. But, from Cork on Leash to fucking Mitchelstown isn't much fun. except TJ, we pass a few places that you frequented over the years late at night. I'd say.
Good old places there to call into.
I remember going that way for a while when Buttevant was a problem, right? And I used to be going down there doing the pods below, and I used to be texting Morris O'Brien as I was going, I'm just passing this place here, Morris, to Galtine or something like that. I'd say you have a few stories to tell about this place. Yeah, oh, Jesus,
there's a good few of them along the way. The only thing I will say, just to harp on what Mark said there, right? Certainly for the Munster Championship and the Leinster Championship, with the matches that are coming, I certainly hope that there's spectators and a good volume of spectators allowed. And I hope the conditions do allow it, because I just, like, some of the games there, the knockout will bring a real cut, a real championship cut to these games. I think the crowd there will really add to it.
Okay, we're saying Cork are hotly fancied so for a Munster. What do you make of Leinster, Mark?
Oh, Dale, you're some whore, lad. Look, I think there's a bit of everything in the draw in Leinster, I must say. Looking in from the outside, you'd be saying Laois and Dublin at the moment probably would be maybe in the back pep of the five teams that are there. I think you have kept Kilkenny and Wexford on two separate sides of the draw, whether they'll get to the final or not. They competed in the Leinster final last year, Wexford winning it for the first time in a long, long time, beating Kilkenny. I actually fancy Kilkenny quietly this year to win back the crown, to win back the Bob O'Keefe. But I think, you know, I think there's something for everybody in the draw in Leinster. But it wouldn't surprise me one bit if you saw Kilkenny as champions there again. I think the only concern I have is the news that came out of the Kilkenny County Board yesterday that there is the positive case in one of their clubs. Like, if they have an inter-county player who has been training with the club and potentially is meeting up with the inter-county panel, that now puts a variable in there, Anthony, that nobody can count for at this moment in time. So, you know, a number of months or a number of weeks back, we spoke about when the All-Ireland final would be played. I was thinking it was going to be February. In fairness, you said, no, it will be before Christmas. But I wasn't aware at the time that the GPA, I think, had a very big say that they wanted to play the championship completed within the calendar year. And that is exactly what has happened. Whereas the likes of John Horne was looking at 42,000 people potentially being in Parky or Crow Park. We say maybe in a January or a February scenario. So, you know, for the fear of repeating myself, I have a sneaky fancy for Kilkenny in Leinster this year. And like Davey would want to, he'll obviously want to hold on to his crown, and we'll wait and see how things pan out over the course of the next 3 months.
Yeah, there was a nice bit of PR work done anyway last night with Marty Morrissey down in Cooldairy at the Cooldairy Fight Harriers Challenge match, and Lee Chin being interviewed on the pitch. So he's a real club man, not a county man at the moment. he being their most famous player. It's great to have pals in high places, isn't it?
You can be good PR. But
TJ Galway,
the draw in Leinster, I think it's a very good draw for Laois and Dublin. I think both of them will like a game. Like, Laois would like to kind of capitalise on last year. Dublin is an opportunity for revenge. Then the prize is to play Kilkenny. Galway, clean one cut off Wexford to get back into a Leinster final. That's what they'll want. Obviously, with Shane and John Fitz there in Galway, it's hard to know what to expect. They definitely seemed to be getting better as the league was progressing. They definitely get that feel. They do have a lot of players, as we well know, and they're well capable of taking out of Wexford. So I'd give them every chance. But again, a bit like Munster, some great matches there. But Kilkenny, I suppose, as Mark said, they are always being the bar, and I suppose people will have to get to there again. But they did in the semi-final last year against Limerick. It was incredible work-wise. Any team that has TJ Reid, and again, the All-Ireland final went away from them after the sending off. So again, I mean, they'll set a strong standard, we know that.
Yeah, and just with, obviously you're involved with Thomas's, TJ, would you have full access to the boys? Like, obviously Thomas's would have a strong contingent with the Coonies and with Burkey and that.
Yeah.
What, there's no agenda being set for you so far, being the coach?
No, definitely not. No, as I'm actually not back in Thomas's until next week myself, right? So the Thomas's they did a bit last week in small groups, and they're back training this week. And I'm not aware of any issue there with the county setup. I do think that Galway are doing a few bits and pieces. I'm not sure whether it's training or whether it's getting together, but I'm sure the boys will want to be setting their stall out. But there will be no issue. And I do know the county final in Galway has been set for the weekend of the 26th, 27th of September, which again is giving a little bit of leeway. And the fact now that Galway have a semi-final match is giving that extra bit of time as well. Like, so I think there is a nice bit of time. So there's a bit of fairness on both sides from the management to give the players to the clubs, and then the county board have responded by bringing the county final that 2 weeks forward to that week there, rather than going all the way to the weekend of October 11th. So give and take for me is the solution for inter-county managers and basically the boards.
Yeah, and that's something we've all spoken about. And just on the draws, we don't know. Look, I think Limerick could be my fancy with them knowing their game plan. That's not putting you in the spot, TJ, having the crack with Mark there with Cork. And I do think the best two draws have been Galway, Wexford, the clean match again, even though you would fancy Kilkenny on the other side. But I think Dublin will have enough revenge in their head for Laois from last year to get Kilkenny. And Dublin could be dangerous against Kilkenny coming in cold, you know. But you would probably fancy Kilkenny to come through. But I actually think maybe the losers of the Cork-Waterford match and the losers of the Galway-Wexford games will struggle with the back door, where the losers of the Clare-Limerick match could be in a decent position, TJ. You know, in that, you know, there's another road there. If the draw works out for you, you could have a two-week break after it, build up a bit of momentum. You have no club distractions at that stage. That mightn't be the worst draw the worst result for those two teams. And I've said that to a few people around the county, and it's amazing. We haven't won a Munster since 98, like. And, yeah, and what we'd give for a Munster now. But people are actually saying, would we be well off to win it or lose it? Like,
I think there's history there too, Dale, with teams getting knocked out early in the championship where they've gone away and got their house in order and have had a right rattle. Whereas, like, basically, if you get to a semi-final and run a team close or whatever, and you're shattered not getting to a final, you could be there for the taking the next day. And I suppose, look, again, with where Limerick and Clare at, for to win a Munster championship now, you have to really rise at 3 days in possibly a matter of 5 weeks to get to the very top on day one, to get to the very top 7 days later, and to get to the very top 14 days later again, like in a period of time. You nearly want to be someone like Aidan O'Brien to be able to do that 3 days in 5 weeks. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And the other thing I suppose that's going to play out here is, and we've I suppose it's been played out for the last number of years, is the Munster winners going straight to the semi-final, Anthony, and there's a 4 week break and they never seem to play well. There's going to be no 4 week break for them this time around.
If this time, Mark, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Well, you're going to be back in action fairly soon, like, and this
2 weeks, 2 weeks, I think that's all.
Yeah, whether it's a myth or whether it's a fact, I don't know, to be honest with it. But the stats would show that the Munster winners seem to have come off worse when they get to the semi-final. So that's one thing that's going to change this year.
Oh, yeah, no, and there's no doubt about it. And you know, from my own time as well, as I say, like, that every week, like the one great year I suppose we had with the Dubs, from my point of view, from winning that Leinster title, was we actually played 5 weeks in a row, like, and it was actually better we were getting, you know, because confidence was growing, the training was getting less. And, yeah, and the freshness was coming back into the bodies before every weekend. And by the time that Leinster final came around, 5 weeks in the trot, lads, we were bullet for road. We didn't train that week at all. I think we met up on the Monday night. We went out for a swim. Then Wednesday night, then we had maybe 20 minutes fastball work and a bit of shooting, and said, right, get in off the field. Maybe left Paul Ryan out to hit a few frees. And that was it. That was it. We said we'd meet you Sunday morning, and we're going to go at this fresh.
And Dale, just what you said there, right, that's a major plus for every club team in the country at the moment, right, because it's very focused now, it's run over a 2 month period, get your house in order here, get a bit of momentum going, you know the first round is either the second last week or the last week in July, the most you can go to is probably last week in September, 8-9 weeks, and it's all games, it's going to be very, very little training, which was what most players would like, it's just games.
Yeah, like the county championship has been launched actually, Anthony, in Cork now as of the start of the week, since the intercounty season has been fully published, you know. So do you want to run through that there?
Yeah, give us a new system, will you?
Yeah, so the new system, it works out like this. Week one football, week two and three hurling, and week four football. There's a break for a week to facilitate divisional teams and colleges. That's called week five. And the week six and seven, hurling and football. So after 7 weeks, you have all your round robin games played, three in hurling, three in football, and you have your divisional and colleges championship runoff as well. So in week eight, then they have the quarterfinals down. And all the quarterfinals will be played if there's no crossover of clubs. So what they've done is they've left week 8 and 9 as quarterfinals stroke semifinals. So if there's no duplication, they'll all go ahead on week 8. If there is a duplication, some will be played week 8, week 9. On week 10, the semifinals will be played. Again, no duplications, hopefully, at that stage. Because I suppose the longer you go on the championship, more teams are going to be getting beaten. And then week 11, which is the 4th of October, you're going to have the finals are down for hurling and football. And across all grades, everything is down for that weekend. So, you know, here we are, like, and I'm 20 years talking about this, right, about round robins, relegation and promotion, and dual players. And in it has taken on the COVID virus in 2020 to actually implement all those things. And all the county board delegates and county board officials that said, we couldn't run a championship in that period of time. It's now going to be run off. And you're including relegation, promotion, round robins, okay, and dual players.
And division teams.
And colleges. So where there's a will, there is a way. But like, I think this is great for the club player. And obviously, you know, the extra 2 weeks that the GAA has allowed by bringing forward has given, you know, a bit of breathing space to a lot of counties. There are some counties have taken that on board. Other counties obviously haven't. And TJ, I know you were like that, you know, the 22nd of September, I think is the date for the county finals in Galway and stuff. They could have stretched it. And like Galway would be a dual county as well. But, you know, I don't think there's too much facilitating of inter-county managers in Cork right now. They're actually facilitating the club player. And I think that the likes of Rhonda McCarthy and Kieran Kingston are going to honour and respect the clubs and the club player and not be pressurising players to actually be at inter-county training. It's just, it's one particular year. That's just the way it's going to be. And like I think Michael Duigan spoke passionately about it last night as well, in terms of where he is. It's club and county, not club or county. And you know, we all came from clubs and stuff like that, and we'll finish up with our clubs as well. And the inter-county fella needs to realise that as well, that you know, if you're lucky enough to play inter-county hurling or football, it's only a passing through for you, because you will end up going back to your club. And I hope the inter-county manager respects that now at this, and there's been a lot spoken about it and wrote and written as well. Like,
yeah, well, obviously for the listener out there, they'll only hear us, but they're very familiar, all of them, now with Zoom calls. So we have been joined from Tralee, presumed it's Tralee, Mike, by Laois manager Mike Quirk. How's it going, big dog?
I'm good. Was that a dig at me there, was it?
by Mark Landers, is it?
Shots fired early.
But Michael, as you know, right, the big ball is never allowed to be discussed on Daylight Show, but I'll discuss it, no problem with you.
We had his club mate on a one-on-one. It was great. It was a bummer. Ah, legend, boy. Sing us a song. You're the piano man, boy. What a man. I tell you, that was one of my favourite ones. But on that, I suppose, Mike, now do we have you? I suppose, look, there's no doubt about it between Colm O'Rourke coming out and, I suppose, Michael Duigan. Like, Michael, to me, is an awful honest broker, right? And a genuine guy. But now the difference is for me, like, that he's a county chairman. And like, for a county chairman to come out as strong as he did is not what we're used to from county chairman, let's face it. He was coming out as if he was still the Sunday game guy. Mm. You know, I know it was on News Talk or whatever, but you know, it was a fair, like he mentioned, hypocrisy, dishonesty, no penalties for county training. He asked the association to grow a pair of balls. He asked John Horne and Tom Ryan to grow a pair of balls. It was fairly straight stuff now, you know. And like, I was a bit shocked with it. As I wouldn't be shocked with it if it was just Duigan, as I've known him for the last 25 years. Like, but as the county chairman, I was a bit shocked. And I will say the proviso there is, the few people that have said it to me, and fair play to Duigan, and if the rest of you spoke up as good. And I says, I wonder if Offaly weren't in the Christie ring, would it be a bit different from the Offaly chairman? So yeah, you're going to ring me now, Duigan, when you hear this and give out, don't.
Yeah.
But like, Mike, strong. I mean, you're the Laois manager. I don't know what club structure is up there now for Eddie and yourself are the two outside managers there. Like, and you know, we've been talking about the likes of Liam Cahill in Waterford and Shane O'Neill in Galway, and stuff like that, you know, outside managers, and how they're feeling about it. And everyone wants to do the best they can do. I mean, you want the end of your year.
For sure.
You know, so Mike Quirk did a great job at Laois.
Yeah. But I think they'll really, you know, this year is so strange, and we're so fortunate, first of all, to have the prospect of games coming down the track. I think that should be the preface for everything. Like, that a month ago, we didn't think we'd be in this position. So now we have to adapt to this one. And like, my only issue with what Michael Deignan said, I thought everything he said was spot on. I don't think he said anything that was inaccurate. My only problem is this kind of, the prevailing narrative now is that all inter-county managers and all counties are doing the same stuff, which is just not the way it is, you know. Maybe there's counties that are doing stuff that are training now. There's people saying there was counties training through the whole pandemic. And my issue is I would love those people. Like he talked about the association growing a pair of balls. I would love people that have actual proof that stuff is going on to stand up and show your balls and go and call them out on it and make something happen. Because at the moment, now everybody is dealing in hearsay and whispers about rumours. Maybe this guy is there training up there and then we should start training. And it's just, it's not the way it's going on across the board. Like, I actually listened to him on the way down from Leash. I was up doing a workshop with the club coaches. And the approach that we've taken above, Delo, is one to try and work with the clubs as opposed to try and work against them and try and pull the players away on Monday nights and do sessions that really you're not going to get a huge value out of anyway. And if someone of them breaks down a session with us and they're out for their club championship games the weekend, then we're like, that looks terrible on everybody. And I wouldn't like to be standing over that. So we're actively trying to work with the club coaches, with the strength and conditioning guys, with our own fella who has our guys on GPS and who are monitoring their load and are trying to positively influence what the clubs are doing with the players, all of them across the board. So whether that's the content of their sessions, that it's more based around the game and where we can help them there, or the physical loading, where some players just went back and did a huge amount of work very quickly and our guy is trying to give them a bit of advice about how best to manage their load so that they don't break down. So that's our approach to the whole thing. And like, we're looking at our county final is going to be played on the weekend of the 3rd and 4th of October. And we play our National League on the 17th. Now, for us, the National League game against Westmeath and Fermanagh are absolutely huge games. They're our most important games of the year.
I was going to say, just on that, Mike, and I know your draw would be Louth or Longford, yeah. And then the Dubs, probably, assuming they beat Westmeath, which probably most people would feel would be end of road, like no back door. Mm. Like, are those two league games more vital in your mind now than the championship? If you win the two of those, the likelihood is you can hit 9 points, is it?
Yeah, if we win the two of those, we'll be in the mix to get promoted. If we lose the two of those, we'll be in the mix to get relegated. If we win one and lose one, we stay in the division. And like, the impact of that, obviously, next year is that if you get relegated to Division 3, now you're playing in the Talton Cup and you don't qualify for the Sam Maguire. And for Leash and the county board and their people, they're very anxious that we maintain our status in the senior thing. So you're trying to marry being very fair to the clubs and then trying to be fair to the inter-county guys as well and making sure that you're giving them a fair crack. And look, I mean, I would have liked 3 clear weeks. I would have loved to have had the county final pushed back a week and given us 3 clear weeks with everybody to prepare. It wasn't to be. They couldn't make it happen. Look, they're trying to run a dual schedule with hurling and football all the way through. So we're going to have 2 weeks, which is probably going to boil down to about 2 quality sessions with everybody, you know, in that period. And you just have to make do. And we got to try and make sure that what they're doing in their clubs for the next month and 8 weeks is going to be the best quality that they've ever gotten. And if we can influence them and try and help them and give them a bit of support, then that's the way we're trying to go down. So my only beef is that every county is not doing the same thing. And if we're going to adhere to that, then it's only fair that those teams that we're going to be competing with should be held to the same standard and are doing the same thing. And obviously the point that Michael Deignan was making was, you know, like you don't train before the 14th, lads, but if you do, no one's going to give you a sanction or there's no repercussion. So obviously it's going to be very hard then.
Did the GAA lads in general, did they make a rod to bait themselves with by saying no county training until the 14th of September? Like in fairness, if you're not, like the system in Clare is first round you play, which is a ridiculous system. The first round is like a challenge match. You win your first round, you play a loser of a first round the following week or 2 weeks. And then if you're beaten by them, you're out. So Clarecastle could conceivably, maybe it's inconceivable now to some people, could beat Six Mile Bridge and Kilmaley and Aina Kilnamona could meet, and you could meet Aina Kilnamona maybe and have no advantage got for beating Six Mile Bridge. Like it's absolutely, you know. But
what date is that, Taylor, then? What date would that be?
So they're kicking off on the 24th. on the 24th now, which is virtually 4 weeks, like, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then you could be out then conceivably on maybe the 6th or 7th of August. And yeah, by the way, then you're not supposed to train with Brian Lohan until the 14th of September. Sure.
Yeah, well,
is that the reason they've drawn back on saying sanctions? Or were they not man enough to say, look, we made a mistake with that date. We're going to put no date on county training. And we're going to say, look, if the clubs that are still in it are proceeding, that they stay with their clubs, obviously, and give their focus. But like, you could be down to six county players being missing for around semi-final time, TJ. Couldn't, like, conceivably. I know in Limerick now, you probably have a lot of the hot pots in the hurling, but in some counties, you could be down to six, seven county panellists for the last four.
You could. And I think the two things you just said there, Dillo. First of all, the statement about the 14th of September for a return was, I think, the rod that beat themselves with. I think that caused a lot of confusion, a lot of hassle. There's plenty of county teams who can get together this month, do a lot of group work, do a lot of work together, whether it's on tactics, whether it's on video analysis. Is that constituted as training? We don't know, but they can do a lot of work. And a lot of the wise managers are doing that, right? The other thing is, which is a major factor, as you said there, if your club is out of the championship, right, well, then you need to get training with inter-counties. You can't go from doing nothing for a month to go full on September the 14th, right? And the last thing here, right, is, and I might be sound unfair to some clubs, right, but the majority of clubs here, their training is very structured, they have good men involved, they do understand sports science and what a player is doing with his county, and they understand what he has to do, right? But there are some clubs still, right, that just don't understand the inter-county scene and don't understand what has to be done by a player. And those players need to be monitored on a weekly basis. So there's an awful lot of give and take required here, right? And I think with the county board, right, basically an inter-county manager and an understanding of the club scene, the solution is in there, right? Yeah, and I like, to be honest, but I have a lot of time for Michael Dignan, right? But you can't tear everyone with the same brush, right? And rather than pointing out problems and problems and problems here, we're in a good time, right? We're looking forward to matches. We're trying to get crowds to go to matches. Sit down, sort it out amongst men. There is a load of intelligent boys around the table here, right? And somebody said to me during the week, right, that a foolish man complains of his torn pocket, right, while the wise man uses it as an opportunity to scratch his conker's dello. You know that, don't you?
Hey, Larry, it's the weekly Gary Spillane classic. Jesus, there's one every time he's on now, I'll tell you about you.
the gag from Gary Spillane.
But you know, on that, Mark, he makes a good point. Like, I'm thinking of now, I don't know now, but I would have heard Will say that St. Ida's, Shamie Harnedy's club would be very, very low standard, would it be fair to say?
It's a junior hurling club. It's no disrespect. And,
no, no, I'm not trying to be disrespectful either.
I know that. I understand that. But like, certainly there is a vast difference between, you know, going training with a lad playing junior or a lad playing intermediate or senior. There's no point in saying otherwise. And that's not being disrespectful. And he's probably one individual that you could pick out now, and he's maybe an isolated scenario. But certainly the trick that has been missed here is the 14th of September. What probably John Horne and Tom Ryan would have been better off doing is saying, once your club player is out of championship, you know, he should be allowed to play inter-county, because the player, where you're inter-county or club, are allowed back into the fields and they're allowed to train. So there's no issue from an insurance point of view. So once you're out of championship, you should be allowed to go back to play or train inter-county straight away. I suppose what John Horne and them are trying to protect is the club player, that you don't have an inter-county manager shouting down the phone at a club player saying, listen, I know you're in the county semi-final, but I don't care. You have to be up here training in Limerick or Cork or Wexford or Kerry or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. They're trying to avoid that happening as well. And like, there's enough pressure on inter-county fellas to try and serve a couple of different masters. And by putting the 14th on it, oh, saying all that, they've brought it forward 2 weeks. So maybe the GA should go back and consider the 14th of September and bring that back maybe to the first week of September.
For me, and I go back to you, Mike, like, you know, that was I think they just weren't big enough to back down and say, look, we let each county decide. We'd urge that everybody would come together. It's been a unique year. Jesus, lads, anyone that watched Primetime Investigates last night, like, you know, to see the scenes in James's hospital, I think, you know, why for 1 year could we not just cooperate? I think TJ's, you know, hit the nail on the head here. This is good news, isn't it? Mike, would you be planning like that you would be able to do a few walkthroughs and you'd be able to get them on a night, maybe a Wednesday night? You know, club training would be Tuesday, Thursday, that you'd get them together, you'd do a video session and that kind of thing?
We'll do some stuff online, you know, is the plan. Like, if guys that we've, like, take John O'Loughlin, for example. John O'Loughlin is playing, you know, hurling and football for his club, so he's out 4 nights a week. So I don't really want to burden him by you know, getting him out another night. So
John O's still in Dublin, Mike?
No, he's down now. He's moved back to Rosenhall.
He was with Bridget, yeah.
Yeah, he was. So this is his first year back down. So he's playing.
I nearly tried to poach him at one stage, though.
I'm glad you didn't succeed. But like, so I mean, I don't want to take him out of fifth night. So we'll do some stuff on Zoom and you know, go through some video stuff and all that walkthrough stuff that we can now do online that we wouldn't even have thought of a couple of months ago before we had this facility. So we'll make it as you know, time intensive as it needs to be, but nothing like that major. But like I honestly do think that'll change as well. The 14th, I think they will say, you know, and they have kind of adapted to these things as it's gone on. And I think the sensible approach is once you get eliminated from your club championship and you're a part of the county panel, there should be no reason that you're excluded from getting together and training as a group. And I think that'll probably come down the line next few weeks as well.
Mike, can I ask you a question? Sure. If you're in charge of the Kerry football team at the moment now, and you have, you're probably in the top two teams in the country at the moment looking for to win the Sam Maguire, would you be taking the approach that you're taking at the moment with Laois?
I think it's easier to take that approach. I think like for Peter Keane and for Kerry, when they come back, they have two National League games that are really not hugely important to their campaign. And then they'll have another couple of weeks. I think they'll have 6 weeks after the 14th of September until they play Cork in the semi-final of Munster. Straight knockout. 6 weeks. Because the two National League games are irrelevant to them. Whereas for us, the National League games are to be on and Lindau, and they're the ones that are hitting us right at the start of the, you know, the start of the thing when we come back. So I think it's easier to take that approach when they're not as consequential. But I just don't think, Les, there's loads of adversarial stuff going on now at the moment between different clubs and counties, and county managers are pissing people off, and you know, the clubs aren't happy with their lot in some cases. So, what we try to do is just try to find the best solution for everybody, and try to, if we can improve what's happening in the clubs along the way, then great. And long term, that'll be of benefit for the county team down the line. But for the year that's in it, one of you mentioned freshness there. Maybe it was you, Dillo. Like, these guys will finish their club campaign, and the idea of being locked away with a county team for 6 months and mentally how draining that can be on guys, I think we'll get a little bit of bounce on the fact that we're not going to be together for ages. They should be relatively fit from you know, the work we can do looking at their GPS and playing all their club games. And then they're coming into a totally new and fresh environment again, playing big games. I think we'll get a little bit of a bounce and hopefully it'll stand to us, you know?
I think you could be on to something big time there. I actually think, and the rumour has it, as you said, we've all heard it, we've mentioned that before you came on. The rumour had it, some counties hardly took a break at all, you know. I think they'll suffer. I honestly don't think you can keep the pressure on a bunch of young fellas for as long as we're expecting here. Just on the football, Mike, are you a bit, like, to listen to Spillane there Sunday night now, and I'm just glad he's a football pundit now. He's great county man of yours and one of the greatest footballers I ever saw, but I just felt sorry for Wheelaw trying to finish any statement without Peck coming back in. Like, no, he mentioned about no backdoor in the football.
Yeah.
Like that, and we've been on about here, like, about would Clare Limerick be better off to lose and go at the backdoor for having a lash off the All-Ireland, like, or even Cork or Waterford. So would you have thrown it out this year and said, let's go for a 32 county with a backdoor, you would have
thought. Even if there was no backdoor, I just think they missed a great opportunity to go and throw your 32 names into a hat and maybe seed your Dublins and Kerrys if you want, and you know, keep the big boys away for a couple of rounds. But do that, and you'd throw up some absolutely brilliant games. And whether there was a backdoor or not, I think it'd be such a novel approach that I think everybody'd buy into it and give it a right lash. And for the year that's in it, like, you're never going to get a better chance to do something like that in Gaelic football. Like, you know, to stick with the provincial systems this year, I just thought was, you know, it was very conservative. You know, I thought out of all years, with the way that the whole management committee worked at head office, I thought it was just a beautiful opportunity to say, okay, lads, we're going to do it this way. We're going to just have a cut off it and see how it works. And I just think it would have been a massive success if they had done it. But no, we just have to get on with what we have. And obviously, when you're in a province with Dublin, team who won five in a row, it's a very daunting kind of a prospect. But hopefully, a few more like Jack McCaffrey will walk away and level it out a small bit.
Well, there's one, and you know, Jack McCaffrey, I suppose he's an old man. He already took a year out to go off to Africa, and pretty much reminds me of Rory O'Carroll, who I'd have known through my Kilmacud times as well. Rory came back and played two hurling matches last year, and just we're about to knuckle down to the real serious stuff. He says, Adelo, I won't be able for the boat. I'm going to stick with the football. And I said, Rory, did I do something to in another life? I don't know about. Like, I really lost out on the county side of it with him. Like, I mean, he would have been full back, I suppose, for the Dublin hurlers for as long as he wanted. He was that good of a hurler as well. But I said, did I do something for you in a past life that you heard about now? You know, but that's the Jack McCaffrey thing. The other side of it, like the David Goff thing, like just saying, like he's not willing to put things on the line there, like in terms of bringing home something, and we spoke before you came on as well about the outbreak in a senior club in Kilkenny that a guy has tested positive already, and we don't know protocols, as all Marty Morrissey said on his report, will be followed. So we don't know whether that club have to stand back for a while from playing challenge matches, or, you know, so there's a whole pile of unknowns that we were talking about, Mike, before you came on.
Yeah, it's still very murky water. Like, and that's why I still think we should be very grateful to be in a position that we are, where the prospect of games, you know, looks more likely than not. And again, if like it's very petty then to be trying to, you know, steal a march on somebody by keeping fellas away from their clubs or whatever. If fellas can get games here at this time of year and we can do as much as we can to facilitate that safely, then, you know, we should be doing everything we can to make it happen. And like, who knows, Dale? Maybe come, you know, August, September, October, maybe this thing spikes again and maybe we're, you know, having a very different conversation. But as we are now, we just have to try and manage it as best we can. And I really just think that, you know, there should be a bit more of a prudent approach from everybody, just to be as fair as we can to the clubs and make sure then that we're helping out those clubs to help deliver as good as they can, you know?
And Mike, that's what I was saying. I think most inter-county managers today and most strength and conditioning coaches have enough intelligence to know that and want the best for their players, both club and inter-county. I do think that will happen. One thing I was going to say there, Mike, was like, as an inter-county manager, well, myself and Dale are well free from those stresses now at this stage and long gone and won't be going back. Well, for me anyway, Dale is definitely due back soon.
No comment.
Has the summer been kind of different, I suppose, maybe less or more stressful? Are you trying to do so much stuff online, or is it all over the place really?
Yeah, like at the start we were doing a pile online, you know, on using this and Jesus Christ, you were doing quizzes and you were doing talent shows and you were doing, you know, it was more to try and maintain the kind of social engagement of the whole thing rather than get any kind of, you know, meaningful kind of work done. And we were doing some sessions online, then, you know, a couple of hit sessions and yoga and all this kind of stuff. And then eventually we just shut it all down because, you know, who knew what was coming? So we just took a break from the whole thing. So it's only now really we're starting to get that bit of a buzz back again and starting to actually make plans and to get up and talk to the club coaches last night and now talk to the players. And the other side of it is like it's a great thing. I, you know, for the players, I think now, like I'm after putting it out to them that your performance in the club championship for your club will dictate now your place in the panel. Like we don't have a whole pile of time to get you into form or get you, you know, super fit. So your performances for your club are going to go a long way towards, you know, maybe there's guys that weren't even on our panel that have put their hand up in the club championship and say, Jesus Christ, this guy's on fire. Let's get him in. Yeah. And I've told our fellas that that's a real life possibility, you know, and it could go the other way as well if guys aren't performing. And that's not by way of a trick, but it's just, it's a way to try and get these fellas to, you know, approach their club training and club games is the same way that they would a National League game or a championship game. And then if you do that, then, you know, everybody's going to be in a good enough, you know, good enough space and it's wide open and that's great for everybody in the country, I think, you know.
Good shop window in Paris, right, Jack?
Yeah.
So for somebody who's trying to get back in the first 15, it's a great opportunity, or somebody who might have been axed, say, maybe towards the start of the league or whatever. So, super tight show up in the form.
Mara Shanahan is a fellow comes to mind there straight away. Now, TJ, he has come out and openly spoken about it, that he was very disappointed to be left off the Waterford panel by Liam Cahill. And if the likes of Liz Moore could get to a county semi-final, a county final, and he has a very good game, well, I mean, you know, maybe the inter-county manager will certainly take a second look at him.
And the same with that, like on the Clare football side of things, where Gary Brennan and Jamie Malone had gone to Colum Collins instead of going travelling for the year, which is obviously out the window. Now, I don't know whether they're back or not. I know Jamie did a bit of an interview that he said he was going to come back and give everything to his club, Corfin, and see how it goes. But, Jesus, if you're Colum Collins, you're on the blower there straight away. I mean, they're probably the best midfielder and the best forward he had going yeah. on the last few seasons. Gary would be obviously acknowledged as one of the best midfielders in the country, like, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, and even in our own case there, a young lad I mentioned in one of our other shows as Bobby Duggan, you know, he couldn't really do the training because of an ankle, constant ankle problem. But he got a bit of surgery and you know, he's back now nearly flat out with the club, and they've made him captain of the club team. And, you know, like, he's a fella you could see, TJ, in that first round match. Out of the blue.
Yeah, you know, what's the story with Peter Duggan?
I don't know. Did Peter come home or not when the outbreak came?
You do, tell the truth.
I don't know. I nearly know more about what would be going on in other counties than in Clare. I think Dougie's away still. I'd have heard it, I'd say, if he was home. Do you know that kind of way?
Would you better get that confirmed for me for next week?
I will. I'll sort all that for you.
Lohan is your Welsh shooter, Dale, by.
Lohan, and I went through, I soldiered with Lohan often, laughing enough not to be talking behind his back or about things. Like, Lohan used to meet journalists in pubs after the matches. Like, Johnny Kellner now, who'd be a great friend of ours and was an ex-All-Star, and Johnny was on our fundraising committee, but he used to write a little column for a freebie newspaper, a great paper now it's gone. Jesus, it must be going for 40 years, the County Express, once a month. And it was Calnan's Candid Corner. And I remember sitting in a pub with Lohan one day after a Munster semi-final, two of us, two pints. In comes Calnan on his lunch break with the soup and sandwich down to us anyway. So the next thing was soup, sandwich and a pint for Cal. Ring the office there and cancel whatever appointments you have. But then Lohan was inclined to, Calnan had some commentary coming up to the match. Do you know, maybe Lohan had been slightly out of form or something, do you know, but typically, of course, Lohan then savaged whoever was full forward in the Munster semi-final anyway. And is there something up, Brian? He says to him for a finish, and Lohan just said, journalist. But wouldn't talk. It took him about 5 pints to loosen up. So I'm not gonna upset him on this, I tell you that much. Mike, just another little angle on it, like, on the 20th of December, would the 24-5-year-old Mike Quirk under Peter Keane have been stepping up against the Dubs in Croker to hit a penalty to win? Yeah. It's 4-4 on penalties. The Narries man is up to win the, or maybe to
amazing,
keep,
isn't it?
Whatever about to win it, like, is one thing, like, the one to keep you in it.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
It's 4-4. No one has missed. Jesus, lads, how are fellas, like, Spillane did bring, that was about the bit I enjoyed about Spillane, he would, you know, I wouldn't like to be that fella going back to that county, he said.
Just
like, walking like a real,
like, that's real never character. That's never leaving you, like, that stain is never going to leave you, you missed that penalty, you know. Now, to be fair to him, I like his idea about a golden score idea is probably a fair way to do it. Play your 5 minutes and the first team to score wins, you know, for the sake of everybody.
Jesus, Mike, all right, in hurling that would work because someone would get a point from 90 yards. Jesus, in football, everyone would go back, the whole shooting match.
Kerry Dublin, All Ireland, final on the 20th of December, there'll be someone to score in the last 5 minutes, all right. But like, what a time for a game of football, it's for an All Ireland final, or, you know, and the hurling on the week before, or whatever it is, under lights or something on a Saturday evening above the puck back. Jesus, we'll never again see the likes of it in our lifetime. Like, so these are, I just think the next few months are going to be, once everything keeps going the way they're going, like, it's just going to be such an exciting time for everybody with the club games and rolling into that kind of a county schedule. It's just going to be brilliant.
Hello. Just on that rule there, would you rather the Munster hurling final or the All-Ireland hurling semi-finals? Has there a decision been made on them in terms of finish on the day?
Everything is finished on the day.
But did they go to penalties, Mark?
Yeah. Well, there'll be extra time, I presume, if the normal match finishes a draw, you'll have extra time, and then you'll have penalties.
Yeah. It's the same as the club, so, because I know most club games are finished on the day, and then only the final will go to a replay, I think, is what most counties have decided. There's one other thing, though, about clubs. I know the situation in Clare is, right? Some clubs have used this idea of no relegation and no promotion, right? Whatever about relegation, right? like if my team won a Premier Intermediate and Intermediate or a Junior, right, and they were told that because of the year, I'd be fair taking off if we couldn't go up. I would be very much against, like,
yeah,
whatever about the relegation side of it, if they can work something out for the following year, I could see some bit of forgiveness there. But I couldn't forgive a county for not letting a team be promoted if they won their respective championship.
Yeah, credit where it's due to the Clare County Board now, TJ. You win the Intermediate Championship, you go up, no one goes down, but then two go down next year. And that's the winners are the Intermediate. So that everyone knows. And in fairness, the no relegation, I kind of half agree with this year as well. You know, because it is a weird year and all that. But there is no, the winners of the Intermediate Championship will be playing Senior Championship next year, which is something that's bang on, I think. And then everyone knows two to go down next year. Would you have stepped up to hit a penalty, Mark? Would you?
No, I like taking them for the club, to be honest with you. I remember I got one free to take in the championship, actually, against Yee, TJ, in 2001. The day.
Well, I didn't know if we were talking about football or hurling there, that's
right. Soccer, introvers, when I was about 17 or 18 years of age. But no, I actually took one free in a championship match, and I hit a wide against Limerick, actually, down in Parky Cueve in 2001. And
yes, I remember that. That was the India then.
Oh yeah, it's the last three I took in there, I can tell you. But I can tell you, if I got Paddy Horn after that game, I can tell you I'd have a few choice words of them. We were beaten by a point by Limerick. Barry Foley cut the ball over the bar from under the covered stand side, and it was the only match ever played in the history of GA. There was no extra time, Dela. Right? Put that one in your pipe and smoke it now. No extra time ever. He blew it on 70 minutes.
I played in one. It was an All Ireland semi final, Mark, and it was blown 2 minutes before any extra time was thought about. Cost me fucking lifting Liam McCarthy for the third time, kid.
Yeah.
I don't remember
like,
either of those two games.
Do you know the one? Yeah, I don't remember any of that. TJ, were you a back or a forward at that stage?
I don't remember.
But for me, as one of the small anomalies with the penalties is, and you remember this, TJ, in the match that Clare and Limerick played, the very cold day that went to the 65 shootout. Right, yeah. And lads, the five boys nailed their 65s, which is fair going now. For the first time ever, you nominated five fellas, you're the takers. Five all. And it had to go back to the first fella again, like. Jesus, like, it's fair. And he missed, I think, then for Clare. I think whoever was first for Clare missed. And then the Limerick lad scored and it was all over.
Like, yeah, the only thing I found that night, my relationship with referees is improving all the time. But I did find on that particular
game... come here. You didn't even go back in a challenge match yet, Miss.
No, it's all right. We're getting there. We're having Christy Brown on great terms at the moment, right? But what I would say about referees in extra time when it's heading for penalties is nearly the referee is leaning towards the draw. When a team that's a pint up, he won't give them the free. And the team that's a pint down, he gives them the free handy. So like, you could probably possibly see it. Even the referee nearly wants penalties at that stage. So we could even have a bit of that. But anyway, as I said, my seven referees were sorted.
But can you see fellas going at the end of extra time and they're bringing out their piece of paper, right, lads? Here's the first five fellas now to be taking the penalties, and they're writing down the names. And the fellas that were very brave before the game to take the penalties, all of a sudden he's been substituted during the match. I said, Jesus, Brian, I don't think I can take a penalty today, lad. My hand is sore.
But if he substituted, he can't take a penalty. As far as I know, he'll have to finish the game. Like,
he'll have to be on the first 15 at the time, isn't it?
So Hoggy can forget about being taken off any day an extra time for you. Like,
taken off. I could tell you, if you can get five penalty takers, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, but for me, what was awful wrong that night, TJ, was you stood up, right? I think it was Peter Duggan went up first for Clare. And like, it was all new to us now. And it was an anti-climax because 65 was no man or man or... It was either a long shot wide or a point, you know. Yeah. And they scored them. And you imagine the relief you got, like, that there was four more Clare fellas and there was five Limerick fellas to go.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be near. Ah, someone is going to miss. And the next thing, there was five all. And it was back to you.
Back to you, yeah.
Up you go. And that's one of the great things about the soccer shootouts. The sudden death in, like, where another fella who has been playing maybe left full for the whole game, you're the curly finger. He's not been called off. He's been called up to take one. Like, yeah, and you can see the colour running out of his face as he's walking up to take it. Like, you know, so yeah, Larry, you're saying something there in the comments there. How come it's only? What did you say, Larry?
How come they only let five take it? Couldn't they let? Shouldn't they go to all 15 there? Shouldn't they let them all have a go?
It'd be fucking terrible.
I know, but I mean, if it goes to sudden death, like,
but that is like, it was the same as that night that only the five guys nominated will hit the penalty. So if it winds up 3-3, number one, Phil, I'll go back up again. Imagine missing two to lose the All Ireland for Cork. Landers missed it the first time, and then he missed it the sixth time as well.
But you know, there's a lot to be said though for if you give him an extra 5 minutes and say, "Boys, the first score wins it here." Like it's you're awarding a fella. It's like golf. You're awarding a fella for winning the hole with a birdie as opposed to another fella losing with a bogey. Like,
correct.
And fuck, I just think you're giving fellas the chance here to win it by being positive and by creative as opposed to hoping the other fella loses. And
yeah.
Jesus, that's some hole that you don't want to be in, lads, for a couple of months. Like, if you look at the score lines in the All Ireland final football for the last number of years and how many draws and replays we've had. Like, you would have had a couple of penalty shootouts there between Dublin Kerry, Dublin Mayo, and there'd be a lot of fellas hanging their heads after, because it's not something that we do, obviously.
I wonder if Mike Quirk and Leash take the dubs to the second period of extra time.
Oh, fuck, we take penalties! Penalties, I tell you!
Yeah, all day long.
I think the underdog will take his chances at the 50-50.
He will.
No, we were watching Norwich. Was it the other day? Was it Norwich and Man United? Was it
the FA Cup?
Yeah, they thought they were home and hosed and going to penalties with extra time. The goal came, but that's great stuff as always.
Great chat. Just for
sorry, yeah.
We need to give Liverpool an honorable mention. Back in top of the tree. Great week for all Liverpool fans out there. I'm sure what every club and intercounty manager will be looking for the next number of weeks. Consistency, work ethic, pressing, relentlessness, belief in each other, the manager, the whole lot. Great week for Liverpool, Dillo.
Why didn't you say heavy metal hurling?
Something like that.
I'm going to go back before we finish up to another one of our most notorious pundits. I had Wade Dygan and Spillane already. Like, I got to go back to Joe Brawley, what he wrote about the Liverpool fans going around a wee won the league. Who the fuck are they? Like, are they down the pitch and don't give them?
They're all the lads with the yellow crown paints there. I've never seen so many of those jerseys in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, I tell you, I went for a swim yesterday and I was coming out of Kilrush and I saw this big red and white flag. Now, I wasn't in Cork, obviously, and Liverpool. I just thought, sorry now, TJ, but I just had to pull up the car. Only for I knew the house that was in it, I could have got the lard betting out of me to pull the flag down. And I'm not against Liverpool winning the league now, put it to that way. But Jesus, fellas flying flags about it over here. Anyway, another mad week done. Well done, well done. And Mike, thanks a million for joining us there. And obviously, you're one of the managers that TJ needs to talk to now about his performance with the referees as we go into the Galway Championship and the Limerick Championship now, because he needs to find the zen that Big Dog has on the sideline, because he's been put out of pitches, he's been brought into pitches, and he's coming up with classic one-liners here on the Irish Examiner podcast every time we have him, which is great to have him at the same time. And he's still in the office flat out there.
Yeah, flat out, yeah.
Cheers, everybody.
All right, guys.
Mind yourselves.
Thanks a million.